You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Last week on the show, our correspondent Adrian Hill mentioned that Prince died without a will. So we've been asking you, our listeners, whether you have one and why or why not. It's been one of the most dynamic conversations we've ever had on Facebook. Here's listener Jen Albee.
My husband and I have had a pretty, I would call it, dare I say, normal life trajectory. We met when we were 23, got married when we were 25, bought a house at 27, and when I was 30, we welcomed a baby. And his birth really incentivized us to think about the future, and it became really important for us to think ahead, even though, of course, thinking about constructing a will is planning for the worst possible case scenario. But having him in our lives, we realized we really needed to take that next step.
You use the word normal, but I'm wondering, just thinking about, you know, how a lot of people feel about wills, if we sometimes feel like, oh, well, that's for someone who has a gigantic estate and it's not for, you know, a young couple with a baby, if we feel like that's sort of outside of the everyday experience.
Right. And even though, you know, we're very fortunate to have the assets we do, but for us, even more so than the fact that we own a home, it was important that we plan ahead for our son. I grew up surrounded by cousins and aunts and uncles in my little town in Maine, so we always had the safety net of close family and godparents, and we still experience that here in rural Maine. But even with that level of security in our family and closeness, it was still really important that we document that.
Did you learn anything about your priorities when you were going through this process?
We learned a lot about, surprisingly, how we wanted to be buried. Or I learned that my husband, you know, I always envisioned that he would be the pine box kind of guy. But instead he said that he would want his ashes scattered up near, Dartmouth owns a cabin up at Mount Moosalock in New Hampshire, and he said something about Penobscot Bay. So we learned a lot about each other and kind of our sentimentality and the places that we thought were most important for us. That was the most interesting part of the experience, was learning from my life partner, who I share everything with, what he would really want for himself, essentially, in the afterlife.
Jen Albee, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Lizzie.
Lynn Battle Green and her husband made a will last year, but for whatever reason, they just haven't signed it.
You get so involved in the process, and there are so many difficult conversations you have to have. And you know, we've been married for a number of years now, and we have two children, and you had the uncomfortable conversations, you know, where do the children go and who's the executor of the estate and what happens if I go first versus you and do you have anything you want to make sure is bequeathed to someone in particular? I mean, we had all of those uncomfortable conversations and we had the appointment and we sat down with the attorney and we did everything we were supposed to do. And then we got everything emailed to us and it was, I don't want to say it was uneventful, but at that point it's almost like we'd kind of done everything, and you don't want to bring all that back up, really. It's still kind of a morbid thing to think about, and you don't want to have to, but that document is supposed to be your peace of mind, to know that everything is going to be okay and handled. But at the same time, it just, I don't know, it just seemed kind of some kind of barrier to actually printing it out and putting a signature to it and doing everything else that's supposed to happen to make it official.
You did do the hard part. So do you want me to use this radio segment to, like, you know, nag you? Because I'll do it if you want me to.
Oh, no, trust me. When I told him I was going to do this, he goes, yeah, let's go ahead and finish that this week. I said, yeah, let's do that. So he's very on board with that. We were brought to the table, so to speak, to actually get everything done because my mother was diagnosed with an early onset of dementia. And my sister and my father and I really had to sit down and get affairs in order for her, and she couldn't necessarily be a part of the process. And that was so difficult. And I mean, honestly, it could have been a lot more difficult. Luckily, we all get along and could kind of figure things out. But that's really what spurred the, hey, I need to make sure my own house is in order.
And did your sister have the same reaction?
Yes, she did. And we're at two different points in our lives. You know, I'm married with children, and she is single, but she's a homeowner, and, you know, she has some possessions and different things. So it definitely put her in that mind. And honestly, after we went through everything and got it completed with my mom, and then we started the process, of course, I've been a big advocate for telling everybody else, hey, you need to get your house in order. Hey, do you have a will? Hey, have you taken care of this? And honestly, once Prince died and everything came out about a will, all of a sudden it dawned on me as I'm pointing my finger at friends and family and anybody who'll stand still long enough, hey, wait a minute, did I finish mine? And that's kind of how all this kind of came up.
Well, Lynn Battle Green, thank you for calling us. You know what I'm going to send you off to do right now.
Yes, I do. And it is actually up on my computer screen as we speak.
To dig into all these issues a little more, we turn to Jill Schlesinger, a CBS News business analyst and friend of the show. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
So many people wrote us on Facebook, and a lot of what they said was kind of, you know, I've been meaning to write a will. I haven't gotten around to it. Why don't we do this?
Well, you know, it's just one of those fun things. Let's contemplate our own death. I mean, we just don't want to do that. And I hate to say it, but it is like many parts of the financial planning process. It's always on the to-do list and often not completed. I read a survey about a year ago. I think it was from caring.com, which found that something like 47% of adult Americans don't have a will. That just seemed like an awfully high number. So I understand it's tough. In my experience, when I was a financial advisor, what I'll tell you is that many people were okay with the process of doing the will. But once it got to guardianship issues around their kids, knockdown, drag out fights that I had never seen before. You know, your brother's a dope. I would never leave my kids with him. Well, your sister is a prima donna. I don't want her raising our kids. So that seems to be the thorniest part of the whole process, which is who will take care of our kids if we were to die together.
So how would you tell someone to start one of these difficult conversations?
Well, I'll just speak from my own experience. You know, my dad died a few years ago, and I really thought that I had done a fantastic job getting everything in place. And by and large, we had all the right documents and all of that. But even having almost everything right, we missed stuff. And I would like to guilt everybody into doing this. Honestly, it is just a terrible thing to leave your family in a place where they are cleaning up after your mess. And it is a mess, make no mistake. If you don't have a will, you die intestate. And that means the laws of the state in which you reside will determine how assets are divvied up. And the big problem with this is it can be quite time consuming. And at a time when you really want to be grieving and getting through this period, you're inundated with just a number of annoying to-dos that have to be completed. So I think the first way to start is to recognize that you're not necessarily doing it for you. You're doing it for the people you love, because obviously you'll be gone. If you're having a hard time with your spouse and coming to terms with, you know, how are we just going to do this, I think a really qualified estate attorney can walk through pretty much any thorny situation out there. And whatever you think is like the weird, peculiar circumstance that you're encountering, believe me, they've seen it all. It's kind of like going to a shrink. You're not going to surprise that person sitting across from you. And I think that you really need to consider that when you do this properly, it is pretty much the ultimate gift you can give to your heirs, because it just makes their lives so much easier.
What makes a will successful? What makes a good one?
The more detail, the better. That's number one. Choosing the right executor or executrix, meaning you're assigning somebody who's going to have the job of making sure that this will is basically executed. And that person doesn't necessarily have to be your child. It can be someone who's a very good detail-oriented person in the family. It can be a friend. You know, I think maybe part of the problem with the estate process is it does bring to bear many big family issues. So I had a client once, 80-year-old woman, and she was going in for surgery. And she said to me, you know, I think I need to redo my will. And I said, why is that? She said, because one of my children will just blow through all the money that he has left. And I don't think that that's smart. And I don't, and so, you know, just coming to terms with that and saying that out loud, that, you know, there are many ways to certainly protect yourself, but boy, that takes a lot of wherewithal and honesty about who you are and who your kids are and being true to that.
I had a conversation about this stuff with my dad last summer, and he said, you're going to be my executor. If someone names you their executor, what should you know to prepare for that?
It's a pain in the butt.
Oh, good.
I did it, and it's a pain in the butt. And it's a pain in the butt in the best of circumstances. It's detail work. You work with the attorney to settle the estate. You make sure that the decedent's wishes are met. But it's I'm not kidding you. It's a pain in the butt. Like, okay, what's the cost basis of every single asset that was owned? You know, where did the deceased person? Where are the documents here? Where's this thing? And it's a lot of that kind of repetitive stuff. Oh, is the deed of the house? Is the house in my name? Is it in the spouse's name? Tracking all this stuff down is so important. Right after my dad died, I said, oh my God, like, this is what regular people have to go through, and I know this stuff. So I actually created like a series of checklists of all the things that you're going to need as the executrix or the trustee of a trust. And, you know, even things like I never realized when my father-in-law died, and we were trying to find his military discharge papers because he wanted to get buried in a military cemetery. Well, you got to have those discharge papers. Well, he was discharged in 1945. So it's a lot of hunting down documents, and the more that you can do that before someone is sick and before somebody is dying, the more you can have all that stuff really filed away nice and neat, working with, a qualified estate attorney. I know a lot of people want to have a do-it-yourself will. I really think it's worth springing for the money. This is such an important area.
Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and the host of Jill on Money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since so many of you wrote in or left messages on our voicemail, we're going to answer more of your questions with Jill next week. And also on next week's show, mortician Caitlin Dowdy tells us why we're not so great at talking about death. Give us a call, 1-800-648-5114, or leave a note on our Facebook page. Just search for Marketplace Business News.